Chemo generally isn't given for ductal carcinoma in situ, but it is for early breast cancers, which have started to invade the tissues around them. While most people are focused on the short-term side effects of chemotherapy, it's becoming clear that for a small number of women, there are long-term problems, in particular, the risk of leukemia. That's what Kala Viswanathan has been investigating. Kala is a Sydney-trained cancer specialist and researcher who's based at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore. As you'll hear, she's also interested in ways of preventing breast cancer in the first place.
There have been a number of studies, and the earliest ones were in the 1980s, showing that leukemia can follow a diagnosis of breast cancer.
Why?
The thought is twofold, that it is somehow related to either some of the chemotherapy agents and possibly radiation as well.
So you set out to find out whether the finding was real and how big it was?
Not so much that it was real.
I think you were pretty convinced of that.
People were convinced of that. I think what we tried to do is, in a very large data set, is to actually to try to clarify the association between treatment for early stage breast cancer and the development of leukemia over a 10-year follow-up period.
So tell me about the women you followed, how many, what sort of stage of cancer, what sort of treatment they got.
The results of the study come from what we call the NCCN. So this is a database of 18 comprehensive cancer centers that are in the U.S. We actually only used invasive breast cancer in stage 1 to 3. So it's not ductal carcinoma in situ. It's what we call early stage breast cancer, where standard practice is that women have surgery to remove the cancer, followed either by hormone therapy, chemotherapy, or both. And depending on whether they have a lumpectomy or mastectomy, they will have radiation.
But in many of these women, the prognosis is pretty good.
Correct. In the majority of these women, the prognosis is really good. So even in this study, which was 20,000 patients who had early stage breast cancer. So then what we did is we followed these women over time to identify how many of them developed what we call a myelodysplastic syndrome, which is sort of an early leukemia, pre-leukemia would be a better way, or leukemia itself. And only a small number of women who had treatment end up getting leukemia. So of the 20,063 women, only 50 got any sort of leukemia.
And some of those who got leukemia would have been nothing to do with their breast cancer. So what was the excess over what you would have expected in 20,000 women?
So the way that we got at that question, which is an important one, is we compared all the women in this database. So all these women had already had breast cancer to the general population in the U.S., what we found is that the risk of getting leukemia was higher in breast cancer survivors than the general population, and it was approximately about threefold higher.
And is there a date beyond which you say, well, you're safe now, you haven't got leukemia by now, you're never going to get it?
That's a very good question. The answer is no. But it is interesting to note that we found that the median follow-up time of developing leukemia was 4.9 years.
But did the risk go down after that?
So the risk persisted over time.
So the risk is low, but significant. What's the message from this? Because it can scare women.
Yeah. The first thing, important thing to say is the message is not to scare women. It's actually for oncologists and women to be aware that there are toxicities that are associated with chemotherapy. And therefore, when making the decision of whether a woman should get chemotherapy, we should take this into consideration. Meaning that if we don't think that the benefit of chemotherapy does not outweigh the risks, then we should not give them chemotherapy.
And do we know who those women are?
We do. For example, someone with a very small tumor where you think the benefit of chemotherapy in that woman is very small, like less than 1 or 2%, you have to really start to think about also the risks.
And is there anything in a woman that might predict an increased risk of leukemia?
Another good question. What we found is that the women who did get leukemia in this study were slightly older, but I don't think that's necessarily on its own a great indicator. There is a lot of research going in to try to understand the types of leukemia, and the thought is that there are certain types of chemotherapy that make you more susceptible.
The holy grail here with breast cancer is prevention. It's a difficult area. And you've looked at aspirin and you've looked at statins. What have you found?
I was going to add there definitely exercise and optimizing weight would be two things that I think would be very important.
And, of course, your family history.
And acting on your family history, being proactive to see whether increased screening or other preventive options might be helpful. On the breast cancer prevention angle, there is the proven preventive agents, such as tamoxifen, raloxifene, and the aromatase inhibitors now.
Which block estrogen.
Which block estrogen, yeah. What we've been interested to look at is whether some of the other common medications that are being used for other indications, for example, aspirins in individuals who've already had heart disease, or statins are used to reduce cholesterol.
Why would you think that would be the case? Well, there is good evidence with aspirin.
So the reason that we think so is that a lot of these agents have multiple mechanisms by which they work. And so we've been very interested both to look at these agents in breast cancer as well as in terms of ovarian cancer, that we start to look at them first in individuals with cancer. And what we're finding is very interesting. We're finding, first of all, in terms of breast cancer, we're finding that statin use is associated with a reduction in disease progression. We particularly have found a reduction in mortality.
This is not a randomized trial.
This is just not randomized. We looked at a group in Finland where they were looking at a national database. So this means that they have data on everyone in Finland. And one of the strengths of some of these European databases is that they actually have prescription data on everyone. We basically looked at statin use in women with breast cancer and breast cancer mortality and showed a significant reduction. We're not advocating that women with breast cancer all go and have statins now. We're saying that the data looks very promising and supports the use of a randomized trial to confirm our findings.
And aspirin, where the evidence is quite strong in bowel cancer prevention.
Right.
What's the story with aspirin and breast cancer?
So breast has been interesting. Long-term aspirin use and breast cancer risk has not shown a strong association. But aspirin use and cancer mortality for multiple cancers have. And what we're seeing is that some of this effect in women with breast cancer, some of the effect of reduction in mortality, may in fact be a few years prior to diagnosis. And so we're following up on that now to look at early stage cancers like DCIS to see if we see the same effect. But we think that some of the benefit from aspirin in reduction in mortality is related to having taken the aspirin close to when they're diagnosed. So when cells are already abnormal but initiating and starting to grow. And we're seeing similar effects with statins.
Carla Viswanathan is Associate Professor of Oncology and Epidemiology and is Director of the Clinical Cancer Genetics and Prevention Service at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore.